Lord's going to have me continue down a vein of thought that we've been addressing over the last 4 or 5 weeks. As is highly visible on the news and is often talked about among Christians, this thing is wrapping up. It's winding down. And you need to make your calling and election sure. We talked last week about the difference in walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. And certainly those are options that we each face every day, every one of us. And the Lord didn't try to slip anything up on us. He warned us that in the last days, perilous times would come. He told his children, that's you and me, that while you're in this world, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tests, you're going to have opportunity to fight and be victorious or to not fight and be defeated. And I believe that's what's going on in the world is helping to separate sheep and goats. I believe it's helping to sift wheat and tares. I believe it's helping to refine the church. I done got myself in this stuff. I believe it's it's getting down to where it's more than lip service. God's going to find out who's worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Who's the real deal? And who is the ones that's lip praising, but that their heart's far from him? You see, he's coming for a church that's without spot, nor wrinkle, nor blemish. And what's going on in the world also transcends over into the church, which is helping to refine the church for that people that he's coming to get. Now, that's why I had you to take out your imaginary spiritual pen and pad and take that test last week of the flesh and the spirit and find out what's dominating the most in your life, the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the spirit. And I want to, the Lord has laid it on my heart to, continue this thought process tonight as I want to talk to you about making a comeback from your setback. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It's absolutely imperative that we embrace the fact that we're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. And along the way in this marathon, if we don't keep our focus upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, then what the Word says, we'll become discouraged and weary. But if we keep our focus right, and if we keep our heart right and keep our relationship right, we won't become discouraged and weary. For the Word of God is clear in that it says that if we don't faint, we're going to reap in due season. But along this way, we're going to be in these struggles, and we're going to be in these battles, and we're going to have setbacks. Anybody ever had a setback in your life? Oh, there's a lot of liars in here. Setbacks in life. Oftentimes, we don't see them coming. I won't call the name of the lawyer that's got a commercial on television, but one of his patrons who got about $2 million says, I heard a siren and I stopped. And bam! Out of nowhere, a taxi hit me. And so got me a bunch of money. Well, life is that way. A lot of times we're just going down the road of life and bam, out of nowhere, we're blindsided and we have a setback. Sometimes those setbacks we have absolutely nothing to do with, others cause them. And sometimes the setbacks in our lives we cause. I want to give you some biblical illustrations of that. In Daniel chapter 3, it's the story of the Hebrew children and the fiery furnace. You see, they had said, look, when you hear the music, boys, you got to bow down. The others had set all this up. If you don't bow down, what's going to happen? You're going in the fire. Well, the music's played. They don't bow down. They told the king, said, look, these three guys, they're not listening to what you said. So he calls for them. They come before him. And he says, look, I tell you what, guys, I'm going to give you another chance. Isn't that just like the devil? He's going to always give us another chance to bend, to compromise, to bow down, to not stand for our beliefs, not stand for God. He's going to give us that other opportunity. So he told him, when I play the music again, if you bow down, we'll forget your first mistake. We'll let you live. But he says, if you don't, you're going in the fire. And who is that God that is able to deliver you from my hands? I love what they said. We ain't afraid to answer you on this matter, O King. For our God can, and our God will. That's where most people stop. But they went on to say, but even if he don't, we're not going to bow down. You see, it's time we Christians, that my God can, is that confidence and trust in the Lord, that expectation of faith in that my God will, but then the even if he don't, that's the commitment that he's looking for. Because if you notice, they went in the fire. We got firemen sitting all throughout this house. Well, some of them's old and retired, but they go in the fire. Man, listen to the story. King jumps up and he says, hold up. Don't touch that dial. Didn't we cast three men bound, tied up into that fire? Didn't we throw them in there? Yes, sir, we sure did. He said, well, there's four in there up loose and walking around. This is Old Testament, folks. And he says, and the fourth is like the Son of God. And I want you to know he's still in the fire. When you're in the fire, he's in the fire. He brought those guys out without even the smell of smoke upon them. Then in Daniel chapter 6, you're very familiar with the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Same scenario. These guys tricked the king and trapped Daniel. They tricked the king into making a decree that anybody that asked anything of anybody or any other god except of the king, they're going in the lion's den. And this scripture says that when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, he went up into his room, threw open his windows as he had done beforehand, and he prayed three times a day. Would you have done that? Well, he gets caught in the lines, and in he goes. The king's highly upset with himself that he got tricked into this, and he stays up all night long. The scripture said his sleep left him. He walked the floors because he couldn't change his decree. Daylight comes. The rooster crows. Down to the den of lions the king goes. Oh, Daniel, is that king that you serve, God that you serve, able to have kept you from the mouths of the lions? Yeah, he sure did. Another sermon there, the very guys that set the trap for him, they and their families wind up in that pit. How about Paul and Silas over in the New Testament? Those others were Old Testament. How about the New Testament? Paul and Silas, they just doing their own thing, serving the Lord. Cast a young girl who had a spirit of divination. They cast that evil spirit out of her. Her owners become ticked because they made a lot of money off of her. They go to the magistrates and the rulers and lay charge against them. Well, what do they do to Paul and Silas? They go and seize them. Bring them in, put a lot of stripes on their back. They whoop the fire out of them, throw them into prison. Paul and Silas at midnight, as you know, they sang and prayed, worshiped God. Shackles fell off, prison doors opened, but they didn't go nowhere at that time until they led the jailer to the Lord, then went down to his house and led his household to the Lord. What's the common denominator in these stories? Simply this. Even though other people caused the problems, they remained faithful to the Lord. And because of their faithfulness, God brought them out of every circumstance and every situation and used it to promote them and used it to spread the gospel for the kingdom. Now I want to look at a few examples of setbacks that we cause ourselves. Now, I know there's nobody in here that would do that. Huh, Glenda? Probably I stay there. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, we see Moses. Now, you know the story of Moses. They set out to kill the babies. They put him in a little reed basket, send him down the river. He's raised up in the very Pharaoh's house that put out the decree to kill all the babies, and he's raising the Savior of the Jews. He grows up. He's out there among the Hebrews one day, and he sees something happening that shouldn't happen. One of them guards was whooping up on one of them Hebrews, and oh, Moses got emotional, and he lost his temper. And he killed him, hit him in the sand, winds up on the backside of the desert. Judges 16, Samson and Delilah. What an idiot. I mean, Brad. When God tells you something as simple as don't tell anybody where your strength lies, that's pretty hard to misunderstand, isn't it? Well, Samson had a problem with ladies. Delilah wasn't his first. He'd been down there at Gaza with the harlots. Then he kind of got a thing for Delilah. And he's got his head laying in her lap. That's dangerous, guys. And before I finish that story, I'm just going to pass on something free to you that my grandma, my grandpa taught me. All you youngsters, listen to me. Everybody, sing. My Papa Tony, that I shared a room with till I went to boot camp, he says, son, come here. I'm noticing you noticing the girls. Yes, sir. I was about six. No. He said, I'm going to tell you how to always have women. Well, I'm all ears. He said, you save up $100, get you a $100 bill, put that thing in your pocket. And when you buy her a Coke, let her see that $100, but put it back in your pocket real quick. Long as she knows that $100's in there, she ain't going nowhere. He said, but now I'm going to tell you, there's another part of this. Don't never kiss a woman that's got lipstick on. Make her wipe it off. Because they got dope in that stuff that'll make you spend that $100 bill. And I'll be doggone if he wasn't right. Well, that's what Samson was doing. He's up there. He's got his head in Delilah's lap. And she's just teasing him, you know, oh, Samson, if you really love me, you'll tell me where your strength lies. Big boy. Well, he toys with her. He teases her with this and with that. And finally, in disobedience, he does the one thing God told him, don't do. Told her, if you cut my hair, I'll be like any other man. I'll be like Tim. They seize him. Let's look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, and preach unto it the word that I give you. So Jonah arose. He went the other way. Went down to Tarshish. Bought him a ticket on a boat to go to Tarshish. Running the opposite direction from what God told him to do. Why? Because they were prejudiced towards the Ninevites. Didn't want anything to do with the Ninevites. So he walked in disobedience, in rebellion, and he ran from God the opposite way. Now, what all of these stories have in common? They all repent. They all get God's forgiveness. And God goes on to use Moses in a mighty way and deliver the children of Israel. He goes on to use Samson, and he killed more of the enemy in his death than he had killed in his entire time of battle and fighting. Jonah, he repents. He finally goes down to Nineveh, and he preaches to that city. Had a great revival. My point to this is tonight, regardless of whether your setbacks have been caused by someone else or whether your setbacks in life have been caused by you, stay faithful to God. Live repentant. Keep your eyes upon Him. Recognize the fact that this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. This is for the long haul. And there are going to be opportunities for you to glorify God with your consistency and your faithfulness. But sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to stir up that gift that's within you. Sometimes you have to do what's not convenient nor easy to do because God said to do it. And I'm going to close at this point. God wanted me to just challenge you with that. And I want you, if you would, to just bow your head for just a moment. Maybe you're here in this place tonight and you say, Dennis, you have no idea what I've been through and what other people have caused in my life. The bad business deals, the spouse that left me, the children that have fried their brains on drugs and other things, and you just fill the blanks in. Stuff that other people have done. Then I'm going to ask you to do a hard part and face the truth of what is it that you've done that's caused the setbacks in your life. The hard-headedness, the pride, the arrogance, the unforgiveness, What is it that you've done? This is very different than the way I normally would do something around here, but I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do. Regardless of whether it's something you caused or someone else caused, that you need to get back into the race. You need to repent. I want you to get out of your seat right now as fast as you can and come to these altars. I want you to come to the front right now, real quick. Get up. Get up and come on. Get up and come on. No matter where you're at, yeah, you're leaving the balcony. I'm waiting on you. People downstairs, come on. This is your moment. This is your time. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Come right on down here. Does coming to these altars change the circumstance? No. But being obedient to the tug of God's Spirit on your heart, drawing you to Him, that's the start. And we're going to pray and we're going to expect and believe God to do something in your life before you leave here tonight. Anyone else? Come on. They're coming. I'm waiting. There's others of you. You need to be down here. This is your moment. This is your time. I've said it before you. This is what God said. If you'll repent, if you'll look to Jesus, the author and the finisher, if you'll reach out to Him, you're going to see some things happen in your life. You're going to get help that no man can help you with. Only God can help you with. And it's a great thing to have a great God with His arms open saying, whosoever will, come on. I'm waiting on you. I'm here for you. I've got your back. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Those of you that are in your seats right now, very quickly, as you sit there, you say, well, Dennis, I don't even know this God, this Jesus that you talk about, but I am a sinner, I'm living in sin, and I'd like to ask Him to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me. I'd like to become a child of God tonight. You can do that right where you sit. If that's you, can I see your hand? Real quickly, anyone, anywhere. Yes, ma'am, thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Very quickly. Word of God is clear. Listen to my voice. We believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came to this earth with one purpose, to destroy the works of the devil, to save and redeem sinful man back to holy God. He stayed faithful to His mission, died a death on Calvary, shed blood, but the grave couldn't hold Him. He walked out of there on that Sunday morning that we celebrate as Easter, and He's alive today. He stands ready to forgive you of your sins. So would you pray with me all across this place? And if you mean it in your heart, my prayers can't save you. You must ask, believe in your heart, and receive the gift of salvation, forgiveness of your sins. So let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. While I was yet a sinner, you died for me. And I do believe you're God's Son that died in my place, so that I could live with you. And I ask you now to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life, to forgive me and to save me and to empower me and to use me and to help me be a person that can bring glory to your name, in Jesus' holy name. I want to encourage those of you at the altars tonight, if you would, to just call out to God about your circumstance. He already knows, but He wants you to talk to Him. And I want to pray with you right now. Father, you see these men and women at these altars tonight that are broken. Father, they've come, and regardless of who's caused the setback, you'll redeem the time, you'll use the circumstance for their good, if they'll look to you, call on you, lean upon you, trust you, reach out to you. Lord, we come against unforgiveness. Lord, we ask you to help these men and women to forgive, to let it go, that they won't walk in unforgiveness. That they will not walk in unforgiveness. That they'll let it go. And Lord, I pray that you would empower them with your strength. Help them to understand that forgiveness does not mean they won't ever think about it again or that they wasn't done wrong, but forgiveness is simply that they're making a conscious, on-purpose decision to let it go, to not hold it against those offending parties anymore, regardless of who it was. And Lord, for any other setback that's happened in their lives, to walk with you is a personal thing. It's between you and the individual. So God, I ask you tonight to do what only you can. Put your arms of love around them and compassion and give them peace and give them wisdom and give them strength. Lord, it's the Spirit of God that worketh in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. So Lord, we pray that your Spirit will begin to do a work in them. Lord, that your Spirit would begin to do something in them that's never been done before. And God, that you would cause them to rise above their circumstances and to see the hand of God moved mightily in their lives. We thank you for it, Lord. We expect it. We believe you, God, for we know that you care about each and every one of them. We ask you to help to put the pieces back together. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen and amen and amen and amen.